As we saw in that trailer, which was put together by the amazing Tristan Beard. Absolute fantastic shout out to Tristan for putting together that trailer. We are starting a brand new series called The Call. Now, as we saw from the pictures and that, sometimes when we think of a call, we might think of ringing someone up on the phone, giving them a call on Teams or on Zoom. We might think of calling to someone from a distance, shouting them to try and get their attention. But actually, when we think of a call, we're thinking of an invitation from God to serve him, usually in unique and often specific ways. And sometimes we can think that the only people that are called are the really spiritual, holy people. We might think of a pastor who is called to gather together their family and move to another town or city and plant a church in that area. We might think of someone who's called to a life as a missionary, to move overseas and go and work with perhaps poorer communities overseas and build houses, build community there. Someone who's called to that life of missionary work. We might think of people who are called to preach in church, to lead worship, to lead children's ministry. We sometimes think that a call from God is saved only for the really holy and spiritual people. But actually, we see in Matthew's gospel that we are all called by God. And that's what we're going to be doing for this series. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be having a look at the different times that Jesus called people in the Bible. The different types of people that he called. They were all completely individual. And the different things that he called them to. And as we read those stories in Matthew's gospel, we're going to be having a think about our own callings. And tonight we're talking about the call to follow Jesus. Now, you might be here this evening or you might be watching at home and you might not even be a follower of Jesus. You might not know what it means to follow Jesus and live with him and walk with him daily. Some of us might be followers of Jesus and we know what we're called to. We know exactly where it is that we are called. You might be thinking, yeah, I know what God's called me to do, and I feel like I'm walking in the right path. I feel like I'm fulfilling that call on my life. Others of us might have an idea of what it is that God has called us to, but we might not really be sure how we can achieve that, and we might not be sure if we're walking in the right path to achieve that calling. And others of us might have no idea what we are called to. We might think, I don't know. I don't know what my calling is. I don't really hear where God has called me. And this evening, we are going to start in Matthew chapter 4. So we're starting really near the beginning of the four Gospels, right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So far in Matthew's Gospel, we have seen Jesus' birth. We've seen his birth in the nativity story and the Christmas story, and we've also seen his baptism when he was baptized by his cousin John, baptized in the Holy Spirit. We've seen Jesus go into the wilderness and be tested by the devil and how his faith was tested. And we're beginning to see the start of his ministry. We're just starting to see Jesus preach. He's just started preaching in his town and the local towns around him, just started sharing the good news of God's love and how people can be saved. And one person who has heard Jesus speaking is a man called Andrew. Now, Andrew is a fisherman, and he has heard Jesus speaking from a distance. He's kind of heard the things that he's saying. He knows that he's a pretty big deal, that he's a pretty holy man, and he knows that he's preaching something really special. And then we meet Andrew and his brother in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, where it says, "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for people.' At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." And as I said, we see Jesus calling people in the Bible. But this is the first time that we've seen Jesus call anyone. And we know that over his time on earth, he called 12 disciples, 12 men who would walk closely with him, who would work with him, and would help him with his ministry. And we know that he also called a number of other loyal followers, men and women who would follow him and who would learn from him. And this is the first four of those disciples to be called. And it's the first we hear of these four men, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. But who were these four fishermen? Now, to give a bit of background, at the time that Jesus and the disciples were living, young Jewish boys would go to school. And they would be educated in scripture. And they would be expected, as a minimum, to learn the first five books of the Old Testament, which is known as the Torah. And they would learn the Torah, they would learn the scripture, they would be expected to recite it, and they would be expected to know what was in the scripture, and they would be expected to interpret that. And as they increased their education, they would learn more books of the Bible until eventually they would know the whole of the Old Testament. That was what was pretty much expected of those young Jewish boys. And when they were about age 14 or 15, the rabbi would come in to the local schools. He would visit each school and he would give the young boys a test, I suppose. He would talk to them about scripture. He would find out what they knew, find out how much they knew, whether they could recite the Torah, recite the Old Testament, and interpret those books of the Bible. And once he had listened to each student, what he would do is he would choose his best students. The students that really impressed him, the ones that really did their studying, he would say, "Come, follow me." And those students that he chose would go with the rabbi. And they would be his disciples. They would walk with him. They would live with him. They would learn from him. And they would be his disciples, helping him with his ministry. And then the other boys that were not chosen, the boys who perhaps didn't do their revision for that test, they would be told, go home and ply your trade. Which just means go home and work with your father, work on your family business. So the rabbi would say, come, follow me. You have been chosen. You are good enough to be my disciple. And then to the other boys, he would say, thanks for playing. This life isn't for you. The life of a disciple is not for you. Go home, ply your trade. Now, as we see in this passage, these men, these fishermen, were working for their fathers. Now, Simon and Andrew's father was a man called Jonah or John, and he was a fisherman. And then James and John's father, Zebedee, is mentioned in this passage. And they were working with their fathers. These two sets of brothers were working for their fathers. They were doing the family business of fishing. So we can only assume that these four men, these four fishermen, were among the group of boys that were not chosen by the rabbi. They were among the group of boys that were deemed uneducated, unworthy, unholy, not good enough to be chosen by the rabbi. Yet they were seen and they were chosen by Jesus. And we are all seen and we are all chosen by Jesus, even when we feel perhaps we are not good enough, even when we feel like those boys who are told, go home, ply your trade, you're not very good at this. Jesus chooses us. And when the boys were chosen to be disciples, they were chosen to follow the rabbi, to learn from him and follow him. And we are chosen, we are called to follow Jesus. He said to the disciples, come, follow me. He didn't say, come, praise me. Come, worship me. Come, glorify me. Come, pray to me. And as Christians, we are called to follow Jesus. We're not just called to pray and read our Bible and praise and worship. We're called to follow Jesus and live our lives with him. And as I said, the disciples weren't chosen by that rabbi, but they were seen and chosen by Jesus. Now, they were four men who went unnoticed by society most of the time. The Sea of Galilee, where the four fishermen did their fishing, was and still is full of fish. It's not short of fish, and it is a sea where there is a major source of fish for local, amateur, and professional fishermen. It wasn't like Simon, Andrew, James, and John were the only fishermen in the village. They were the only people who anyone could buy any fish from. There were many, many fishermen. It was a very common trade. So they were pretty much unnoticed by society. They would be out doing their business every day. They would be out on their boats, day, night, rain, shine, warm, cold. They would be out on their boats catching their fish. And it's a pretty unglamorous job. I don't know if anyone has ever been fishing, but fish stink. And you have to do it even when it's raining and even when it's cold. It's a pretty unglamorous job. And they went unnoticed in society most of the time, yet they were seen by someone like Jesus. And you might feel like you go unnoticed a lot of the time. You might feel like, I'm not seen in my job. They don't recognize what I do and how hard I work. I'm not seen by my friends, by my family members. I feel like I go unseen. But actually, Jesus sees you. Jesus sees every single one of you. And he calls us. Now, the word call means to speak out or point out with words, to call by name. And as we see in this passage, Jesus saw the disciples. It says, if we go, yeah, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. And then the next slide, if we could, it goes, going on from there, he saw two other brothers and he called them. He called them out from the crowd. He spoke them out. He pointed them out and he called them by name. And the same Jesus who called those fishermen is calling us by name. He says, Susanna, come follow me. Alexia, come follow me. Dan, come follow me. He calls us by name, calling us to follow him. And they were a group of men that were chosen to be Jesus's army. Now, I was having a think of other armies that have been chosen, and I thought of an army from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Any Marvel fans in here? If you're not a Marvel fan, this section probably won't make a lot of sense to you. I'm a very new Marvel fan. I've been watching all of the films with my sister, who is here, and my brother-in-law. They were like, Emily, you're watching too many chick flicks and rom-coms. You need to branch out. So I'm watching the Marvel films. And one of my favorite Marvel films is The Avengers. Fantastic films. If you've not seen them, I would highly recommend. And The Avengers, who we have got here, are a group of superheroes who were called by a guy called Nick Fury, who works for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they were called by Nick Fury to save the world. Now, Nick's thinking, the world is a mess. There's supervillains taking over. We need an army. We need a strong army to defend the universe. So he calls the Avengers, and they are a powerful, strong group of fast warriors who are really good at fighting. Iron Man, my favorite Avenger, is one of the most intelligent men in the world. Captain America, fantastic fighter. Hulk, you don't want to pick a fight with him. They were strong. They were a powerful army. They were the best army that Nick Fury could put together to save the world. They were worth calling up. Now, Jesus was sent to earth to save humanity, and he could have called his best army to help him with that. He could have called the smartest men and women to help him, the most educated. He could have called those boys that the rabbi chose at the beginning, those boys who really knew their scripture, who could really interpret, the really holy people. He knew that he was going to be preaching the good news, so he could have picked the best public speakers, people who were really eloquent and could just talk to any crowd. He could have picked his best army and chosen them. But instead, he chose four humble, uneducated, unworthy fishermen. Fishermen who were not chosen by the rabbi when they were young. Now, the fishermen were not the Avengers. They were not a collection of strong saints, but God still used them. He used them for amazing things. As we know, those four men would go on to set up the early church and be the first Christians. And the same God who called imperfect fishermen is calling you. And he will use you for amazing things, even if you're not like the Avengers. And sometimes it can be really difficult to answer a call from God when we don't feel like we are worthy. We can be tempted to think of many excuses. We can say that we are inadequate, we're unqualified, unprepared, unequipped to do this. We might say, I don't think I'm the right person for this. You want me? God, I'm not particularly very holy. Send Lex. She's much better than I am. Send Susanna. She's much better equipped to do this than I am. We can be tempted to think of many excuses. And the first disciples probably thought this when Jesus was calling them. As I said, Andrew had heard Jesus speaking, so he knew who he was. He knew that he was preaching about God. He knew that he was a big deal. And he's on the boat with Simon, and he sees Jesus on the shore saying, come, follow me. And he might have gone, Simon, is he talking to us? Do you think he's talking to us? And Simon might have been like, no, that's that preacher, Jesus man you were talking about. There's no way he's talking to us. And Andrew's like, but he is looking in this direction. Maybe there's someone behind us. Nope, he's talking to us. He's telling us to come follow him. And we see in this passage that God calls imperfect, flawed, weak men and women like you and me. And he doesn't want perfection. He's not looking for perfection. He's simply looking for people who are willing to be vessels, people who are willing to say yes, people who are willing to follow him. And say, Lord Jesus, here's my life. I want to live it for you. I want to do what you do. I want to be more like you. So what does this mean for us? As I said, you might be here tonight or watching at home, and you might not be a follower of Jesus. You might not know what life with Jesus even looks like, what it means to say yes and to follow Jesus. And for those of us who are followers, how can we continue to follow God and determine where he is calling us? And what do we do when we are feeling like we are being called? Well, let's look at what our disciples did. It's so, so simple that we can almost miss it, but they listened. They heard that call from Jesus, come follow me. And it says that they left the boat and they followed him. So they listened. They didn't have to listen to him. They were on the boat. They could have seen him on the shore and they could have said, if we just look like we're really busy and we're really not, we don't have time to talk, he'll just go away. He'll just get bored and he'll just go away. They didn't have to listen. But they listened and they said yes and they followed him. And we need to listen to God's voice in our lives. We all hear God speaking to us in different ways. You might hear him speak to you through scripture when you're reading the Bible. You might hear him speak to you through prayer. You might hear him speak to you through worship music and the lines of the songs that we sing. You might hear him speak to you through other people. When other people are praying for you and prophesying over you, that's when you might hear the voice of God. And sometimes we're not hearing God's voice at all. And then we can be really fed up and we can feel like saying, God, I'm not hearing your voice. I'm not hearing you talk to me. I don't know what you're trying to say to me. And it is then that we can tune out because we're not hearing God's voice. But actually, it's then that we need to tune in and we need to press in. We need to read our Bibles. We need to pray. We need to worship. We need to pray with others, with those around us. We need to press into his voice and listen. Now, I love that in this passage, the disciples were at work when Jesus called them. They weren't on retreat or in a really spiritual place or praying in church. And sometimes we think that that's when God will speak to us, when I'm having my quiet time, when I'm in church, when I'm at Hub. But actually, God is speaking to us every day of our lives, every second of our lives. And I wonder, are we still able to tune in to the voice of God, even when we're at work, when we're at uni, when we're with our friends, when we're with our families, when we're going about our everyday lives? Are we still tuned in and listening to God's voice? Now, God's call will be different for everyone. Sometimes it can start slowly, as faint as a whisper, and it can just plant a seed which then grows. When I was 15, I was at Soul Survivor, and I felt a call from God, a really faint call from God, that I was going to lead worship. And it didn't happen overnight. It's been a long journey of learning the skills to be a worship leader, learning what it means to lead God's people in worship. And it's been a call that God put on my life, and it's grown over the last 11 years. And sometimes that's what God's call can be like. It can start slowly and it can grow. But sometimes he calls people as suddenly and dramatically as he calls Simon, Andrew, James, and John in this passage. And what else did the disciples do? They left. We need to leave behind things. It says in the passage, if we go to the next slide, fantastic. It says, "I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. And if we go further on into the passage, it says, immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. They were willing to leave behind their nets, their boats, their families, their livelihood, to say yes and follow Jesus, because they knew that life with Jesus would be worth it. They knew that saying yes to his call and following him would be worth it. Now, the word left means to let go of, to allow, not to hinder. And Jesus is calling us to leave behind the things that hold us back, the things that hinder us, the things that stop us from following him with our whole lives, perhaps parts of our lives that we're still holding back from him. And I wonder, what are the nets that God is calling you to leave behind? Maybe it's relationships that aren't good for you, friendship groups that are unhealthy. It might be a job. It might be habits you find yourself regularly doing. It might be comfort zones that you're refusing to leave and you find really difficult to leave. What are those nets that God is calling you to let go of, to allow, not to hinder you? And in this passage, it says, at once they left their nets, and immediately they left the boat and their father. There wasn't any, in a minute, maybe tomorrow. I'm quite busy right now, Jesus. Maybe not right now. Doesn't feel like the right time in my life for this. I don't feel like the right person for this. The disciples would have had their questions. They would have had their doubts. They didn't know who Jesus was. Andrew knew that he was someone special. And they knew that he was someone they could trust. And I wonder, do we trust Jesus despite our questions and doubts? Do we trust him despite our fears and anxieties? Are we willing to say yes to his call? He says, come, follow me. And we say yes. Now, life isn't easy, but life with Jesus, life following Jesus, is so wonderful. It's so much better living a life with Jesus than living a life without him. And that's the next thing that we need to do. We need to live. When the disciples were called to follow, when Jesus said, come, follow me, from that day on, they followed him. They followed Jesus from this moment that they were called to the day they died. They followed him. They lived out the call to follow. They didn't just hear his word. They lived it out. And we're called not only to hear the word of God, but to act on it. Not only to listen to the call of God, but to live it out and follow him wherever he goes. Say yes and follow him. It says in Ephesians 4, verse 1, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Are we living our lives worthy of the callings we have received? Are we living our lives called as followers of Jesus? Now, we don't know what following Jesus will entail. We don't know what it will look like. And the disciples didn't know. All they were told was, you will be fishers of men. Which I think is a strange thing to say to fishermen, because they're there with their nets, and this man says to them, you will be sent out to fish for people. They might have been fairly literal men and might have gone, I don't think these nets are going to be big enough. We might need to get some new nets if we're going to fish for people. They didn't know what fishing for people meant. They didn't know what that call would entail. The disciples didn't know that two of them would be crucified for sharing the good news of Jesus. James didn't know that within a few years of this call happening, he would be killed on the orders of Herod for sharing the good news. Peter didn't know that he would be one of the people who would set up the early church and that he would be a saint with a church in Rome dedicated to his memory. They didn't know what the call would look like. They saw neither the glory or the pain. They only saw Jesus. And I wonder, do we see only Jesus? Rather than saying, but what about the future, God? What is my life going to look like? What about my questions? What about my fears? Do we see only Jesus? We see him as so important and so precious that we're willing to say yes and follow him. And we are called to be fishers of men and women. That's what it means to be called to be a Christian. We're called to share the good news of Jesus with those around us, to fish for people, to extend his kingdom. And if we go back to those young boys that I talked about at the beginning who were either chosen or not chosen to be the disciples of the rabbi, the group of boys that were chosen would be told by the other boys that they were leaving behind, may you be covered with the dust of your rabbi. And that sentence comes from the fact that the boys would walk behind the rabbi, they would walk with him, and they would walk so closely behind the rabbi that the dust would flick off of the rabbi's sandals and cover them because they're walking behind him, because they're walking so closely. Are we willing to walk so closely with Jesus that we will be covered by the dust from his sandals? Are we willing to walk so closely to Jesus that we're almost tripping over ourselves and tripping over him to get to where he's going, to do what he does, to be like him? That's what we're called as Christians. We're called to follow. We're called to walk with him. We're called to be more like Jesus. We are all called to follow him, to be disciples and follow in his footsteps and do what he does. And over the next few weeks in this series, we're going to have a look at the other things that Jesus calls us to do and what he called people in Matthew's gospel to do. He calls us to proclaim the good news and preach to others. He calls us to take up our cross daily. He calls us to give to the church. But most importantly, he calls us to follow him. Each and every one of us, he wants to live our lives with him. He wants to live with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants us to follow him and learn from him and be more like him. And this is my big idea for this evening. We are all called to be disciples of Jesus. We walk with him and follow him by listening to his voice, leaving the things that hold us back and living a life worthy of our call. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that you call each and every one of us, that you want to do life with each and every one of us. You want us to walk with you. You want us to do what you do, and you want us to be more like your son, Jesus. Thank you that you see each and every one of us, that you know each and every one of us, and that you love each and every one of us. And I just love to pray for people here in the room or at home. If you are not a follower of Jesus, you don't know what it means to follow Jesus and live life with him, but you might like to find out. You've heard this evening that you're seen and you're known and you're loved by him, and you'd like to give your life to him. You'd like to find out what it means to follow him and live with him. So now, with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you would like to make that declaration to follow Jesus tonight, I just ask that you raise your hand. No one's looking. Okay. I'm going to pray a prayer, and here in the room or at home, you can pray it with me. I'm going to pray it line by line. I'll do it slowly. And if you want to make this prayer your own, you can say it in the quietness of your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you know me. You know the path that I have walked. You know the mistakes I have made. I want to follow you from this day. I want to live my life with you. I want to walk with you, Jesus. Come into my life now and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen. The band can start coming up and getting ready. If you prayed that prayer, I would love to pray with you and chat with you some more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I'll be over in the corner and some other members of team will be there. And also, I'd love to pray for anyone who feels like there's something that they need to leave behind, something that they know holds them back, something that they know holds them back from giving their whole lives to God and their whole lives to following him. We'd love to pray with you and pray that you can leave behind that thing, whatever it is, that you can lay it at the feet of Jesus and that you can follow him fully. And as always, if there's anything else that you would like prayer for, anything that has been going on in your week, a situation that you would really like prayer over, there'll be people over in the corner who would love to stand with you and love to pray with you. But now we're gonna worship, we're gonna respond, we're gonna praise Jesus. So I'm gonna hand back over to Suze and Lex.